Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another venue that you might not have seen me in prior to a couple of months ago. But we are back and we're looking different. And I'm not really sure what to call this show right now. But we're going to say this is this is Three in the Key. This is Hoop Talks. This is a joint project of both. What? Is it a love child? A Three in the Key and Hoop Talks?
What kind of intro is this?
I haven't been here in...
Why don't you look at Jelani some more for validation? Why don't you do that?
Okay? To stare
anybody who's watching from video, I'm not sure if you'll even get this version, but whenever Justin tries to get at someone, just look at how often he looks to Jelani for approval.
Oh, no, it's fine. I look you dead in the eye. I just don't
want to
get stoned.
I don't want to because I think it's going to
I just don't want to get stoned if I look you dead in the eye.
Medusa? I wish. Medusa had the right idea, ladies and gentlemen. Jeez. I wish. Turning men into stone just by looking. You're next.
Right,
yeah, just wait.
I think so.
That's tough.
Anyway, it's not about Medusa. It's not about me. It's not about Studio One. And in Studio One, no, Studio Two, sorry.
Unbelievable.
In Studio Two.
She don't even know. I think she knows the studios.
I thought she was the boss, man.
We're in Studio Two. And in Studio Two, we're going to talk about the Toronto Raptors beating the Oklahoma City Thunder last night in Toronto, 128-111. Probably one of the best performances I've seen from this team this season. And it's crazy because we are well into March, only a couple days,
your day.
I was in the middle of my monologue. it's all good. But we're in a couple games away from the playoff picture. The Raptors seem to be doing something. They won that game against the Nuggets at home. They won this game against Shea at home. Their next opponent is going to be the Timberwolves at home. Is this a different team?
No, it's the same team. What kind of question is that? Come on.
What do you mean, what kind of question is that? They're literally fucking winning. What do you mean, what kind of question is that? So what?
They win two games and
lose three
games.
Justin, we know more about you than the Raptors right now, as you're just the Raptors hater. So no matter what happens, you're going to find the way.
Unlike the Raptors, I'm consistent. Right?
Great.
The Raptors are very inconsistent right now. Look, they're going to win three games. They're going to lose two games. I need to see it. I need to see an extended period. If they win these next two games, okay, then maybe we got something here. But if they put up another poor performance against Minnesota and then they lose to Milwaukee, which is highly possible.
Well, that's a different threshold that we're looking at. That's Milwaukee.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying.
That's
what I'm saying is
one of the best teams in the conference.
I understand that. What I'm saying is the theme of this Raptors season has been win a couple games, lose a couple games. Win a couple games, lose a couple games. Like, you never see any sustainability.
No, I'm not holding my breath, but I'm saying, is this not showing you the glimpses of a team that we thought they could be? Jelani?
Yes. Well, when you get all your guys showing up, right?
They played
because
good.
Multiple guys showed up last night, and we needed that, right? Because OKC have young talent. They could score. Like I said, I pointed out last episode, the pace of the game was really quick. So I was worried if the Raptors, you know, were going to be able to counter that. They were, and I'm thankful for Jakob Poeltl because, again, without a center, we understood who the Raptors were. They were a team that was struggling offensively. It looked like they had no mojo. And then defensively, a lot of teams, you know, did whatever they wanted to. So picking him up was good. Thank you very much. Gary Trent Jr., we've been talking about him. He showed up. Thank you very much. Pascal Siakam as well. Pascal, okay? He has the most 25-10-5 games in Raptors history. Thank you, Pascal. There are a lot of thanks. A lot of thanks I'm giving out right now. But it's because, like, yeah, it's been a while since we've seen a performance like this where a lot of guys showed up for Toronto. Fred VanVleet, right? He had another good game. He played like the Fred that we want to see moving forward as we get closer to that play into that playoff time. And last point, the bench was there too. The bench production. Actually, we got some bench production, right? Mm-hmm. And that was the question. So, yeah, I think if you're looking at it, this is the performance that you look at and you say this can be an example of a good Raptors team, right, that can actually play for something moving forward, right? And the season's almost done.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could get this version of the Toronto Raptors, you're in a much better spot than a team, like Justin pointed out, that is sometimes good Raptors, sometimes bad Raptors, right? Mm-hmm. This was a fantastic performance. They held their leads throughout the game.
They led from start to finish.
Yeah, they had a good start in that first quarter, right? The end of the first. So, and then they continued that throughout the rest of the half. and then brought it to the second half. So, yeah, I think hopefully we'll see what happens with the Minnesota game, with moving forward with Milwaukee on the road, stuff like that. But we got some other games, Indy, Detroit moving forward. So
a lot of Charlotte back-to-back.
Yeah, Wizards. So we'll see. I hope, though, that we get effort like this where everyone shows up.
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest guy on that team, obviously, it's probably the same conclusion all around, but Pascal Siakam. And not just offensively getting his points up 25 points, but doing everything else. He had a team-high 8 assists. He had a team-high 14 rebounds. And it kind of ties into my point last time where I said, if Pascal Siakam is being Pascal Siakam, this team's winning. There's nothing else anybody else can do, because if you're going to be the main guy and you're doing every little thing on the court and you're being just a nuisance to the other team, now not only are you a threat yourself, but you're opening up your teammates, which allows Gary Trent to go off, score 23 points. It allows Fred VanVleet to score 19 points, OG Anunoby to have 17 points. So that's why I think he is the most important player on this team. He wants to be, and even if he doesn't want to be, he is, just because of the power that he holds against the other team. And I just want to see more of that. I think if he can continue to do this, this is a good Raptors team.
Well, he finally was aggressive, and he mentioned that post-game that he came out aggressive, and that's what they need to see. They need to see Pascal Siakam be aggressive. He can't be passive, especially now when these games mean the world to them. And we saw that, you know, he got to the free throw line. You know, he made his free throws. You know, you mentioned he had 8 assists, 14 rebounds, of course, got back to 25 points a game. That's what the Raptors need to see from him on a nightly basis. And I'm not saying that exact stat line, but we need to see a guy who's aggressive and not be passive and shy away, because he has a skill set to take over games. And if the Raptors want to win, they're going to need all hands on deck, and he's going to have to be the driving force of it.
Yeah, it's true. And I just want to go back to that Gary Trent Jr. point that I had. Did he show up last night?
He did,
and we won. That's what I'm telling you. He's the most, to me, he's the X factor for the Raptors, right? Because when he's feeling good about himself, he could be that other scorer that the Raptors need, right? And I think OKC couldn't handle him. I think he felt good. He was really comfortable. And I think the last thing on the Raptors, I feel like being back home has really helped things, right? That road stretch wasn't too pretty. It started off rough in Washington, and it ended rough in Los Angeles. So I think they needed to get back home. Mm. Now we'll probably see a Raptors team that's a lot better, more cohesion on both sides of the ball, because we didn't see that on the road for the most part, right? And I know we're playing good teams. We played Denver twice and things of that nature, right? But I think now being back home, you're probably going to see a better team, in my opinion, right? 7 of the next, like, 8 are at home. So I think we're going to see a better team, hopefully more winning.
They're going to have to win.
They're right behind Atlanta now.
They're going to have to win at least.
And Atlanta plays tonight against the Warriors, so that's going to be a game no matter what for Raptor fans, because if they lose that, the Raptors can take that 8th seed. That means you're 2 seeds away from the 6th seed. But
stop
catching 6.
I would rather be 7 or 8 than 9 or 10.
You get the home play-in date.
You don't want to be 9th or 10. Yeah. That's not a good spot to be at.
Yeah.
But the Raptors now have 2 games remaining back-to-back against the Timberwolves, and then they'll be taking on the Bucks in Milwaukee. And you mentioned being at home is something that's probably helping them in this tenure, but I also noticed the fans last night were not
mid.
Absolutely. You know what? I'm in the middle of, like, wondering, because I'm like, it's disgusting. I want to see veins popping. I want to see fist bumps. Like, I want to see everything in the stands. But at the same time,
popping, we're not working out though.
Stress, Justin. Stress.
Oh, like the vein.
Like
pulsating
how
in your head
like
right
how
now.
It pops for me whenever you speak. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I thought he was talking about the forearm. Veins.
The forearm pump. Drink some salt water for the Raptors games.
Hilarious. My vein's about to pop anyway. So. Being there, I'm just like, I understand. I hate it that they're not as involved as they should be. But at the same time, I'm like, the team hasn't given them anything to cheer for. Mm-hmm. And even as I'm watching back at home and I'm watching them take these leads and the first quarter against the Nuggets where they scored a franchise high 49 points, I was still waiting for the drop. Like, I wasn't excited to watch that happen. So I wonder if that's still the same case for the fans in Scotiabank Arena.
Maybe, because when the Raptors weren't good, a long time ago, right? The crowd wasn't
when you were 3.
The crowd wasn't doing anything, right? The crowd was kind of quiet because, yes, There wasn't much to cheer.
I mean, you could cheer Anthony Parker,
right? Oh, yes, of course, man. What? T.J. Ford in the crew? What? Jason Capone in the crew? But
Jorge Garbajosa.
Oh, Garbajosa, my guy. I had a bobblehead because my dad used to work there, obviously as security guard.
Johnny had the connects at ACC. I did,
bro.
Okay.
Chris Bosch lunchbox. Anyway,
nice.
Anyway. I think there hasn't been a lot to cheer about, and this team we've been talking about all year how they've been kind of a rough watch, mm-hmm. especially when it matters most in the fourth quarters, right? But at the same time, I do think the prices, MLSC, let's just talk about it, right? They are driving the real fans out of there.
Absolutely. Okay?
They have been. The Leafs prices are crazy. The Raptors prices are crazy. They're driving out the real fan. They're bringing in those guys that, you know, they got the Louis Vuitton stuff on. They got the Balenciaga. I get you. I see you, man.
Hey.
Lower ball. This guy thinks I'm talking about him.
No. Side, I don't know anything about that.
Courtside dapping the crew up.
I wish I could sit courtside.
Dapping the crew up.
I'm sitting up in the bleeds.
But, that's who's there right now with the nice, you know, suits. I get your in Armani and stuff, but we still want to have that
real fans.
That fan in there that, you know, can make it set the tone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because when I was watching last night, I forget what happened. It was a dunk or it was just one of the nicest plays that happened last night. And I'm looking for a reaction in the stands to see something, anything. And the front row, I think directly next to the Raptors bench were these three people sitting. It was one older man, one blonde older woman, whatever, next to them. And let me show you. This is how they clapped.
Yeah.
Because that's what the fans are.
Do you have both hands?
Because NBA fans think they're too cool for school now. If you look at it.
They're not fans, though. I don't think they're fans.
And people go to NBA games just to flex at the NBA.
That's especially if you're in the lower part.
You go to see courtside, right? What are people doing? They're all like this on their phone.
Yeah, you're not trying to be a super fan, right?
How super fan? How can you clap when you got your phone in one hand?
I think it's different because, like, obviously there's that audience there that goes there and they're there for the clout. Absolutely. But what we're seeing with the Raptors is it's just the suits and ties that I don't even think, like, I can't imagine this woman who's watching this play happen even knows what it is. And she's just watching everybody else clap. So she's going like that. And I'm like, if you don't know what's this team is, if you're not even a fan, it looks bad on the team.
It's because the real fans are up top.
Yeah.
Right?
Even those are so expensive.
If you're not at home, then the fans that are actually there are up top. So those are the ones actually making noise, maybe because they're also drinking.
I think it's... Look, to MLSC, it's a business, right? Like they don't care that they're pricing with the real fans.
Of course not.
They're selling.
Well, they're making enough money from Rogers.
They can make more money, right? They don't care, right? You think the MLSC cares about little Jimmy and Timmy that want to go from like Ajax that want to watch their first basketball game? They don't care, right? All they care about is if the people are coming in the games, buying the merchandise, buying the overpriced liquor and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's true.
That's all they care about. They don't.
I think that's a problem too because it's a topic of the housing market too, where they were like, the housing market sucks, but if there are people who are going to be buying it, it's going to continue that trend upwards anyway. Like if the market's there, it's going to happen. So everybody out there, stop buying Raptors tickets. Just stop. It's going to give them a kick up their ass. That's what they need.
We're going to need the real fans to show up in the play-in.
I'll be there last game of the regular season against
because
Milwaukee.
If you want those years when we had DeMar and we had Kyle and you had the electric atmosphere in Toronto, a lot of the players talked about how hard it was to play in Toronto because of the fan base. Yeah. You can smirk all you want,
And they loved playing in Toronto because of that.
Absolutely,
they loved playing on the road, a loud crowd.
If you guys have problems with finding real basketball fans,
we
can just move the Raptors to Vancouver.
What are you talking about? Oh, my God.
No, there's a city out west.
There's like three people.
West, you know, we have a 19,000
there's like three people in Vancouver. I think we're
three
good
people.
On that.
You've
yeah, it's fine.
Before. You can't talk about that.
Yeah, there's definitely three people in Vancouver.
I'm trying to go. I haven't been yet. I heard good reviews.
There's like squirrels and deer. That's what I care about, actually.
Just want to shout out to the boys.
But let's
Jackson
move on.
City.
Yes, sir.
We're going to, okay, before it's, I need to switch
shout
to
out,
talk.
Shout out to Cactus,
that's enough.
Bro.
Cactus Club.
That's enough.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, we're gonna change direction here, and we're going to move to the Western Conference. If you guys will allow me.
I will allow you.
Let's talk about Ja Morant. He has just been awarded. No, he's not my boy, unfortunately. He has been told that he will be out of the NBA for 8 games for the Memphis Grizzlies. And you know something else that came out recently that I thought was so funny? The Memphis Grizzlies have now banned overnight stays when they're traveling to other cities and playing. So places like Miami, Toronto, Dallas. the grown men have to leave the arena and get straight on the plane because Ja Morant ruined it for everybody. Imagine if you're Steven Adams, you're like, oh shit, I can't even sleep here. I'm on a time crunch. I'm grounded. I have to get onto my plane right away. That's kind of...
Imagine if you're like JJJ and you want to go out with...
Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy.
You have to get metal... They have metal detectors now.
Yeah, they do.
Games, but look, like... Ja, it's kind of weird though. Like Ja got, you know, they put him on that leave of absence, no time for his return. He goes to that rehab where it counts himself for 2 days. And then all of a sudden the NBA announced, okay, he's suspended for 8 games, but he can come back on Monday against Dallas because he's already missed 6 games and then they're just going to miss his next 2 games if he's healthy.
Right? And he met with the Silver real
and
quick.
I just feel like it all moved very quickly. Like, great, he went to counseling. Great, he's seeking out the help, but it was very like
did it have the impact
it
that it's supposed
the impact
to have
that it should have had? And I listened to his interview with Jalen Rose. You know, he took accountability for it, but again, it was very scripted. It was very like say this exact sentence as
it's written. PR out. People
it's
talk
PR
to him.
People, right? And look, America will always give people, well, people in North America in general, will give people a second chance, right? And he's gonna get that second chance.
I
just want to see more authenticity and more remorse from him, and. Again, he didn't. I wanted to see more about him understanding that he kind of spun on the media, like, oh, there's a media narrative about me right now. Well, these stories came out because of the actions you did.
Well, yeah, it's
you
self-inflicted.
They're self-inflicted.
You pulled a gun out like 3 nights in a row. It's not the media. It's just you got caught.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what I felt like. He should take more ownership of that, saying, look, this is the position I'm in. All these not just the NBA, my teammates, but companies are spending millions and millions of dollars to put their brand behind me, and I'm doing this. I just want to see more accountability. I don't really want to see him come back right now, right away. I think he needs to just take more time and really, you know, let it sit in there. And I think that's not what's going to happen because it's a business. The NBA needs Ja.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies need Ja to sell tickets. So he'll probably be back. Right
and because
away.
The playoffs are about to
and
start.
And the playoffs are right away, right? As well. So
I don't know.
Good, some good, but still some things that need to be worked on in that situation.
Yeah, I think Ja, I mean, like you said, it went so fast, right? Mm-hmm. It was kind of a quick process, yeah. I feel. But yeah, I hope that he says the right things, right? They told him, Ja, you say this, you say that to Jalen Rose, cool. But actions, right? They speak louder than words. So let's see what's going to happen moving forward. Are the Grizzlies going to let him do whatever he wants, or are they going to set the tone? Are they going to talk to him? Right, because it's not just the fact that we're playing for a championship, but it's also his image, right? And the image that he shows to the world, to everyone that follows him, millions of followers, millions of kids look up to him, Powerade, Nike, blah blah blah. So he's gonna have to find a way to definitely go back to hooping, right? When he's back, I want him to strictly focus on that, and I think he will. I think he will because I deep down I feel like he does know. Okay, yeah, I was kind of being dumb about this,
kinda?
Right? Yeah, not even kind of, but yeah, this was dumb, right? And the position that he was at, he might miss out on that 30 M's,
yeah.
You know, because all the All NBA, yeah. Who knows? So he's gonna have to think about that as well. I just want to see will the actions mirror the words that he's been saying, because he's been saying, you know what, yes, I'm sorry, you know, I understand, blah, blah, blah. So we'll see. And as for that interview with Jalen Rose, I did watch it. It was an interesting one. I personally, though,
I
feel
that.
Like it was a bit too much. I get it. Okay, I understand. I understand he was flashing the gun, very idiotic, right? I understand that he was doing, you know, dumb things, that 17-year-old, all that stuff, like the mall.
The finish line. Yeah,
look, there's
basketball
game. There's a list of things that he's done, right? But I don't want us to act as if this is like I don't know what to compare it to, but I just feel like this was some Good Morning America stuff right here, you know, is the
Oprah
like
Winfrey
a crazy
interview?
Sit down. I don't know if they're trying to spin this or make this more, not more than it is, but they're I think now we're getting to a point where it's kind of being pushed a bit too far.
It's a ratings driven thing, right? Like, oh, like we're gonna hype up this Ja Morant interview on SVP after
like,
the
understand.
Clippers and
Warriors
game. I
think it's also because the league itself realizes that you're bringing him back too fast, so you're gonna need to show people why you're bringing him back too fast. You know, so they're like, put his face out there, give him. I'm sure those answers were given to him a week before, so he could practice for them. He could figure out the perfect answer, know what to say, when to say it. My problem with that though is like, based off how often he did what he did, it was a pattern, right? It just kept happening. It was story after story. There were like two different teenagers he wanted to beat up.
Indiana.
Yeah, there was two different ones. The like there was the one Pacers. That he actually beat up, and the one where he like sadistically put his chin on his neck, being like, "Should I beat him up? Should I do it?" Like just like a sicko. And then he points the beam of the gun at the Pacers staff. Then he
allegedly.
Goes. But after all this has happened, you're gonna doubt that? I don't think so. Yeah, exactly. Brings the gun in on the airplane to the strip club. Does all these?
The NBA did an investigation. The gun wasn't on the plane. It was
just borrowed it from somebody.
Yeah,
in Denver?
The investigation.
He did. He also did say it wasn't his gun.
He borrowed it from somebody else.
But the NBA investigation did say that he didn't have it on team business or the facility or anything like that.
But again, before Nora, you continue, I just want to say like the other thing that again I talked about how we're pushing this a bit. Why are we leaking? This is not the NBA's fault. Why are we leaking the photos from the club?
It's the club's doing it.
That's the club doing that. Why are we doing that for?
He wants
you know what I mean? Like, what else happens there? Okay, continue, Nora.
No, I get it. I get that too. I'm like all those things that have happened. And so when he was at the club, before he went to the club, Steven Adams had a team meeting.
I know. This is a bad look.
Right? Like, so all those things that are happening, now I'm thinking he's doing damage control. And if anything else happens, we might not even know about it. Because the NBA might sweep it. Ja Morant himself might sweep it. The Grizzlies might sweep it. You're not going to see too much of it. But when I see a pattern of bad behavior consistently, it's very hard to turn a blind eye and be like, oh, no, they changed overnight. He's going to come back after a week, and he's going to be a grand old wholesome man now. Yeah. Like, that doesn't happen overnight. No. So I think that's where everyone's like, we know what you're doing. You understand that Ja Morant's your rating. You know he gets you the big bucks, the marketing. The Grizzlies need him. Like, that city of Memphis definitely needs him to be in the arena. So they're fast-tracking everything to make sure that right before the playoffs, the narratives are set for the playoffs. And that's just not a good look for the NBA.
Yeah. Look, Ja Morant is the biggest American player, biggest American superstar in the NBA, you could say.
I'm talking about young players.
I'm talking about young players.
Okay.
Young players.
Tatum.
Yeah, Tatum even.
Tatum.
As for the young guys coming up.
It's him and Tatum. But Ja plays the more flashier game. He's more.
He's got more of the superstar.
Because he's more viral.
Exactly.
That's why, in that context, he's TikTok.
And in that case, going forward, he's going to be the face of the NBA, right? Whether you like
it
or not.
American face of the NBA. It's going to be Luka.
Yeah.
It's going to be Giannis.
But, okay, I'm talking about in America. We could say basketball is a global sport, but in America, it's still bigger than anywhere else, right? Yeah. Look, Ja Morant's the face of it. He's going to be the face of USA basketball. He's going to be everywhere, right? I want to see, okay, this is fine. Happened early in your career, but 4-5 years down the road, are we going to still be talking about these incidents?
I don't think so.
Are we going to be seeing, okay, this is a new guy. Is he grown up, right? That's going to be the thing because whether we like it or not, Ja's going to be getting endorsement deals tomorrow over the next couple of years. And how is he going to respond?
How old is he?
It's like 23. 23? 24.
Yeah,
23, 24. Around my age. Oh. Yeah. Shout out to the
youngins. Would you ever bring a gun out?
No, I would not.
We live in a way different country too. So.
But yeah,
that's why he got a gun.
I would also just be like the Grizzlies as a franchise, as a corporation. You guys have to make sure that he's on the right track, right? Because yes, Justin just talked about his career path, what it could be like, but right now, seeing how it's been over the last few months, this whole season, even the reports, prior to the season started. They're going to have to set the tone. They cannot give him leeway to do whatever he wants, okay? They're going to have some authority now, right? They understand, yes, you're the superstar, Ja. We love you. Thank you for everything you've done. We're going to pay you, blah, blah, blah. But we're going to pay you, right? We're going to rely on you, and we're going to trust you if you make sure that you can change, right? Mm-hmm. That you make sure that, like I said, the words that you've been talking, they match the actions moving forward.
Another thing, too, with Memphis is he's the tone setter there, right? So if he gets a, finds a straight and narrow, does that potentially allow a guy like Dylan Brooks to kind of, you know, stop his antics, yeah. right? Does that kind of change the culture of the Memphis Grizzlies where they're known as like this bad boy outlaw team when that talks a bunch of shit, but they haven't won anything to back it up, right? Does that kind of push them back on the straight and narrow?
Maybe.
We got to get back to it and become that grit and grind type team that just, remember that those teams with Marc Gasol, Mike Conley, Zach Randolph, Tony Allen, they didn't, you never saw them do this type of stuff. They just put their head down and worked and made the playoffs.
That's also because those are veterans.
Vets
on that team.
I want to see that.
There's a lack of vets on this team. Steven Adams, but aside from him, who's really there setting the tone.
And I feel like he's the kind of guy who's like, I'm going to tell you once, and the next time it's your problem. Like, yeah. I'm a grown adult that got my own shit going on.
You need a guy like Udonis Haslam.
Yeah, but again, I think like they don't want that. I just feel like they don't want that.
No, they want to run their own stuff. Yeah. That's why. But I think he is young enough that down the line, if he can change himself, you can be like, yes, those things happen, but it looks like he's grown. He was young back then. We all make mistakes in our early 20s. Like, we can kind of let it slide, but it's a matter of like, how much will he commit to repeating that pattern again? And will we even know about it? Don't know. Well, this has been the love child of Three in the Key and Hoop Talks. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for being here, Jelani. Justin.
Yes.
Thank you, Stevie Z, producer, for being here. We'll be back on Monday to recap the Raptors against the Timberwolves, against the Bucks. And if they can get those two wins, it's time to run for that sixth seed. See you guys then.